Last week, Pastor Beth started us on a journey talking about room at the table. And this week, we're going to continue that journey looking at bread for the table. And to guide us in our conversation, we're going to be in the book of Exodus. So the Old Testament flavor this morning. Exodus chapter 16, starting in verse 4, going through 14. Here's what the word of the Lord shares with us today. Then the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepared what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, in the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you uttered against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. These are the words of the Lord. The Lord be with you. You know, one of my favorite places to visit is this wonderful place called Wegmans. I just love going to Wegmans. That's been one of the great things about moving up from Cortland. Cortland didn't have a Wegmans. And where we live now, within like 5 or 10 minutes, we have 4 of them. It's an abundance of riches for us with Wegmans. But I love going into Wegmans just about any time of day. But I particularly love going into Wegmans bright and early in the morning. Like earlier than I think people should be up. But there have obviously been people up, because I walk into Wegmans that early, and you walk in, and what's greet you? There's usually the produce section, and then the bakery. See, you're laughing, so you know this smell that I'm about to describe, this thing that just fills our nose with wonderful aromas of this fresh baked bread, and it just seems to stick with you the rest of the day, this wonderful aroma of the yeast and all that mixes in. And I love going in that early, and when the bread is just, it's almost too hot to touch. I like to go up to where they have all the bagels, and I don't need any of the fancy ones at this point. Just give me a plain bagel. That again, if I try to pick it up, I almost have to dance it in my hands because it's so warm. And then just break it open, and no butter necessary. Just straight bagel. Oh, nothing beats that. I mean, it has to be consumed right there at the store, because if you try to take it home, it cools off too much. I love visiting Wegmans and seeing all the bread. I mean, if you look at me, you know that I am no stranger to a loaf of bread. And bread it's a wonderful thing. It's not a terribly healthy thing. I mean, it has the grains and all those kinds of things, but if all you eat is bread, it's not going to be pretty. But bread is so wonderful, and it's such a staple to our day-to-day lives. And this is nothing new. For centuries, people have been checking out what happens with bread. For centuries, people have put together their tables for dinner, and they've thought, you know what we need? We need bread. I've been fortunate enough to travel all over the world. I've been to Africa, South America, all over the place. And no matter where we've been, when it's time to sit down for dinner, some form of bread is on the table. You know, whether it's a flat bread or like a pita or something, or if it's a large loaf of bread, everywhere we've gone, somehow bread has shown up at the table. And every part of the world seems to have their unique twist on it. But yet everybody thinks you have to have bread to make the meal complete. Well, and that's nothing new. The Israelites had the same thing. The Israelites that we find here in the book of Exodus, bread was a regular part of their life. For years and years and years, even before they were the Israelites, the people of God, bread was a part of their day-to-day life. In fact, they would spend a good portion of their mornings every day making fresh bread. And just before this account in Exodus, we find the Israelites are making their exodus. They've been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. The Lord has opened the way for them to get out. And he says, when you make your bread, don't bother with the whole yeast and all that kind of thing. You don't have time. But notice, the Lord said, make bread. I think that it's God-given that we have bread in our lives. And bread at the table. And this level of bread became so important that the Israelites took it with them across the Red Sea, and they had it there, and they must have made a lot of it because they had an abundance of it for a while. But time came when bread started running low for the table. And it didn't start off as complaining. I'm sure it was kind of like murmuring at first. Now, I know none of you would ever murmur, because I know I never would a lot. But it started off as kind of a murmur. Oh gosh, we're running out of bread. Well, guys, what are we going to do? We're running out of bread. And eventually it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew into full-blown complaining. I think anybody who's ever raised children knows that journey from a murmur to full-blown complaining. It's never a fun trip. But complaining starts, and they start complaining to their leader, Moses. And they say, Moses, have you brought us out here to die? You know, at least back in Egypt, we had bread for our table. Out here, we have nothing. How are you going to fix it? We'd be better off dead in Egypt than alive here without bread. Now, there's an important piece here that it's a whole other sermon that I'm not going to do today. But Moses' response to this, before we get to the passage I read, is something for all of us to learn. When the complaining and murmuring in our life is high, whether we're the one doing the complaining and murmuring or somebody other than us is, Moses' first response is to go to God. Moses stops and he says, you know, God, these people that you gave me, they're complaining and they're whining and all this is just, it's what's going on. What am I supposed to do, God? And God hears and answers. And we get in the scriptures what we call manna. God says, here's what we'll do. I've heard you whining and complaining. And so what we'll do is we're going to feed you. In the evening, you're going to have quail. Later on in the book of Exodus, this is not my graphic term. This is right out of the scriptures. God says, I will give you so much quail, it will be coming out your nose. Read it. It's there. I'm not making it up. But in the morning, you will have manna. Now manna, it looks kind of like tapioca. I mean, it's small little pebbles. Coriander seeds is another description. Peppercorns, that kind of size. A small little round seed-looking thing. We actually don't have any pictures of manna. Kodak wasn't quite in business yet. And so we don't have actual pictures, but they believe it to be like this kind of seed-looking thing that people would take, and they would mash it up into a paste and put it together with some flour and bake it. It didn't rise. It was usually more like a cracker. Like if you've ever had a matzo cracker or any of those, it's more like that. But the Lord provided it every day, and provided very clear instructions. Go out in the morning and collect what you need for 3 or 4 days, right? Just got to make sure you're paying attention here. No, he says, collect for what you need for today. So there wasn't like, you know, going to BJ's wholesale of manna and stocking up on the super club pack. It was get what you need for today, with one exception. The day before the Sabbath, the day before the day of rest, you can collect a double measure. Along the way, people try to test God in this. And they go and they say, well, God won't mind if I take a little extra so I don't have to come out tomorrow and collect. And that little extra, when they woke up in the morning, had spoiled. Just for today. God provided the manna, the bread, for their table. And it might be easy to look at that account and think that this is a story about how God has taken care of their physical needs. And that's there. But I think what's there is a bigger question. See, I think what's happening here in this question is that the Israelites are asking, is God still at our table? Is God still present with us? I mean, I know that none of you have asked that question, or maybe have. I know I have. God, are you still in this? Are you still here with me? You see, because the Israelites were sitting down at the table and there was no bread for the table, so they assumed that God must have abandoned them. Have you ever felt that something was missing in your life and you assumed because it was missing that God had abandoned you? And you'd wonder, is God still out there? And so the complaining of the Israelites was about bread but had nothing to do with bread. The bread was the symbol that God was still with them, that God had room at their table. And so as the Israelites cried out, they said, you know, we followed you, God, out of slavery across the Red Sea. We saw you do some pretty amazing things with the Red Sea. I mean, could you imagine that we said, you know, we're going to leave here today from the church and we are going to go over to Lakeland and we're going to walk across the bottom of the lake, which may not be a real good idea, but... But I'm talking big God who can take the pollution and everything and separate it out, and we could walk across dry land. Do you think you might think this God has control of some things? The people just experienced that, but they were wondering, is God still there? Sure, it was about bread, and sure, it was about nourishment and getting the things that people needed for the day, but it was so much bigger. It was about a relationship with God and whether God was still with them. We get a little more evidence of this later on in the Old Testament. We get to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is kind of the second telling of the laws. Exodus is the first telling. Exodus is when the Lord gives to Moses the law, and then Moses gives it to the people. Deuteronomy is when it's their children. It's the second generation that is going to inherit the land. And God says to Moses, you better make sure they know the laws. So it's the second telling of the law. And in this, we get to Deuteronomy 8, and we get what I think is a famous passage. Where it says this in 8:3, it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, with neither you nor your ancestors had known, which neither of you had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, this is where the Lord is reminding us that the whole manna thing, it's not about bread. It's about the Lord being present at our table. The people of Israel had forgotten that the Lord was still there. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're going through something in your life and you've been kind of murmuring and complaining a little bit with God. And, you know, God, why is it this way? Or why is it that way? Why can't it be this way or this way? And you've forgotten to make room at your table for the bread of life. And this is not just a once and for all thing. You might be thinking, well, I did that, you know, years ago. I made sure that was taken care of. No, we're reminded this is a daily practice. Every morning they had to go out and get manna. And we said the prayer earlier. We said the Lord's Prayer. And what does it say in that? It says, give us today our daily bread. It doesn't say give us today bread for tomorrow or bread for Tuesday. It says give it for today. What I need today. And again, I at least because I like bread, I think, well, that means God's going to give me bread today. Give me food. Give me nourishment. And that's true. But I wonder what would happen if we as the people of God began to live by thinking of that as saying, remind me of your presence every day. Remind me that you are at my table every day, God. That the bread of life is present with me here and now as long as I make room at the table. As long as I try to stop fixing it all by myself and ask God into the equation. Give to me today my daily bread. That reminder of this constant presence. You see, this thing called the church, I think we quickly forget that. Because we kind of take it for granted. We're church folks. You're here this morning. Maybe you're ready to check off the box. I was here, did my deed for the week. Whew, can I get to the football game now? You'll be out way before pregame and all that kind of stuff. But the church often forgets that it has this responsibility of making room at the table, not just for God, but for the world around us. And all too often, my experience, maybe you've experienced this as well in faith communities, that faith communities have the table. They even have the presence of God, but they're very vigilant in who they're going to make room at the table to share that bread with. That there's those people there and those people there. Remember this summer I talked about using that term, those people? Making room at the table. You see, I'm convinced that the church is the one place where there's always room at the table. Make sure you hear that again. The church is the one place where there is always room at the table. Yeah, I think about growing up. I didn't have a big, huge family. It was my brother and I, my mom and dad. Yet that small size and just my brother and I, we found no shortage of things to disagree about at the table. You know, I think wherever two or three are gathered, conflict is present. And so we can argue about just about anything. You know, I would ask my brother to pass me the peas, and he wouldn't do it as quickly as I thought it would, and we were off. You see, being at the table together doesn't mean that we all agree, doesn't mean that we all look at the world exactly the same way, but it means we're there at the table feeding on the bread of life. The church is the one place where there's always room at the table. And we live surrounded by a world that only sees the church as only entrance tickets can sit at the table. Now, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to go from a little bit of preaching to meddling here. I just want to give you a fair warning. Because before, it's easy to look at the church and talk about it that way, but what about our own lives? Are there people in our lives that we exclude from the table? That God's grace is there, the bread of life is there at the table, there's room for God there, but we don't make room for them at the table? You know, that neighbor that has the knack of annoying us to no end? That person of another race or color or creed? That person of another lifestyle choice? Is there room at our table for those folks? Or are we just so focused on who can sit at the table that we want to ignore the bread of life that's there that is given for everybody? Again, I'm not making this up. This is right out of the scriptures. The bread of life is for everybody. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says what? He says, I am the bread of life. Isn't that funny how that keeps coming up? I mean, it's all the way back in Exodus, and it shows up again here in John, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, I'll take us back to the fact that I am a big fan of bread. I like bread. But if all I ate was bread and all I drank was water, I'm probably not going to be healthy. There's nutrients. There's things missing from that equation. And so there's this sense that he says, well, as long as you come to the bread of life, you're never going to be hungry or thirsty. I'm not so sure this is literal. I think this is about remembering that as long as we keep room in our lives for the God of the universe to have a place at our table, we will have what we need. That I am the bread of life, and whoever comes. And he goes on to say later, he says, and all those the Father gives me will come to me. You know what the funny thing is? We don't get to decide who sits at the table. That's not our job. You know, this one of my favorite things, and it happens a lot this time of year with football and things going on. People say to me, Pastor, can you make sure it's good weather on Friday night? Like, I have control over these things. Well, can you put a good word in with the people upstairs? I'm like, your landlord or what? I mean, and I know what they're saying, and I'm not that foolish. But I always give a simple response. I said, no, I can't help you there. I'm in sales, not management. My job is not to determine who sits at the table. My job is to make sure that there is room at the table for all those who God would send. And as it says in John, these are the words of Jesus, all those the Father gives me who will come to me, and whoever comes to me, he says, what, I will not turn them away. Again, I'm not making this up. It's right there. But yet we so often in our own lives turn away those who God has given to us to offer the bread of life. Because we don't like something about them. The bread of life is there for everyone. Jesus Christ is available for everyone whom God would send, who God would call to them. And Jesus says, let them come to me and I will make it so they never hunger or never thirst again. The same promise he gives you and I. But are we making room? Is there room at our table for those whom God would send our way? You see, friends, our role is not to determine who gets an invitation. Our role is to make sure that there is room at the table and that we stay focused on the bread. Because when we don't stay focused on the bread of life, we become like the Israelites in the book of Exodus. But Lord, you haven't given us enough bread. And God answers by saying, but you haven't given me room at your table. Friends, as I wrap up, I know that's your favorite part. You'll remember that part of the sermon, as I wrap up. As I wrap up, I really do want to challenge us to wrestle with that thought. Who is it in our lives that we aren't making room at the table for? You see, whether there's bread on the table or not, that's not up to us. The bread of life has been given and provided. It's sitting on the table, and through the miracle of God, it is constantly that perfect temperature. That's almost too hot to handle, but so good going in our mouths. But there are people in a world who are looking for a place at that table. Will we make room that they may come in and eat the bread of life? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are the giver of the bread. That you provide that need for us. We thank you for your presence with us. That you had made room at your table for us to come and share in your grace and your mercy. Help us, O God, to make room at our tables. To invite others to share in the bread of life that is you. And Lord, as we do it, we will turn our grumbling and complaining into shouts of joy. And adoration because of what you are doing in our midst. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.